Hi, you're listening to a podcast brought to you by the teaching team at New Life in North Lincolnshire. New Life is committed to helping transform people and transform places through the love and power of Jesus Christ. We hope you, in some small way, will be blessed and transformed by this message. Good morning. Good morning for those of you who don't know me. My name is Dina, and I'm one of the pastors here at New Life. And it's a privilege to share. I got to share last week. In fact, I've got to share the last 2 weeks, which is great. But we're still in January, and it's always that awkward thing of when does it stop being appropriate to say Happy New Year to people? Because we're now on like the 20th, we're 3 weeks into January. So it feels like we've gone a little bit too far into the month. But if it's your first time of seeing somebody in January, then you feel like you should say, oh, Happy New Year. I said it to somebody the other day, and they looked at me a bit like, no, we're way past that now. But if I've not seen you yet in January, and this is the first time you've been in, then Happy New Year to you, 3 weeks in, but there we are. But January is... it kind of lends itself to be a time of freshness, a time of newness, a time, you know, people set goals or resolutions. Some people do that, some people don't. It kind of provides, when the page turns in the calendar, it's a clean sheet, it's a fresh start, and it gives us a chance to evaluate ourselves, where we are, where our faith life is, where we're at in life generally. And I think it's really important for us as people who are doing our best to follow Jesus, people who have said, yeah, we want to follow him. It does us good, and January kind of just naturally offers that time to look at our lives and think, where am I at spiritually? A bit like an MOT, I guess, like you take your car and you pray it passes. But maybe a time that lends itself naturally to self-evaluation. Okay, where am I at in my walk with Jesus? Am I further on than I was this time last year? Have I grown? Have I developed? Have I changed? Is who I am today look different to who I used to be because I'm following Jesus? Because if we are serious about our faith, and if we believe that we are created on purpose, for a purpose, how do we make sure that we are living that purpose? And that's really what I want to look at today, to unpack some of those, I guess, foundational things that really help us to become followers of Jesus and disciples. So if we are made on purpose for a purpose, a great question to ask is, what is that purpose? If we are here for a particular reason, what is that reason? A number of years ago, I went along with some ladies to a Christian women's conference in Leeds. And on this particular day, it was just for 2 or 3 days, and everybody said, oh, we're going out for lunch. So I'm like, that sounds cool. I love food. I'm always up for going out for lunch. So we went out for lunch, and we're eating, I think it was like a Wetherspoons or something like that. But we're eating our lunch, and suddenly everybody around our table started singing Happy Birthday. So I just joined in with all gusto, clapping along, happy birthday, thinking, I don't really know, like, whose birthday it is. And then the waitress came and plonked a cake in front of me. And everybody's laughing. Now, this is in June, and my birthday's not till September. Remember that, everybody. September, that's when my birthday is. So I'm very, very confused. And basically, I'd played a trick on one of them kind of months earlier, and this is their way of getting back at me to embarrass me, that they were all singing, and I had to blow the candles out. So I do officially have two, a bit like the Queen, God rest her soul, but a bit like the Queen, I have two birthdays. But you see, I was there, just assuming I was there to eat my lunch, but actually the bigger purpose was it was a surprise birthday for me. And so everybody else knew the purpose of that day, I just didn't. And so when we are thinking about being followers of Jesus, what is our purpose? Because what a waste of our life it would be if we live our life and never really unlock and understand our true purpose. And I believe some of Jesus's final words that he gave once he'd risen from the dead, but before he descended back into heaven, I think his words give us the clue, give us the key to what our purpose is. And if you've been around church any length of time, these verses will be very, very familiar, but not everybody has been around church a long time. So I'm going to read them to you from Matthew chapter 28. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That right there, it's often summed up as the Great Commission. That is our purpose, to be a disciple and to make other disciples. Jesus speaks to his disciples and says, you now go with all that I've taught you, with all that I've inputted into you, with all that you have seen. You are my followers. Now go and make more followers, more disciples of me. And a disciple is simply a dedicated follower, a lifelong learner, somebody who chooses somebody to model their life after, somebody who you want to follow somebody and become more like them. And as followers of Jesus, we are his disciples, lifelong followers of Jesus, aiming to become more like him. That's our purpose. Notice that Jesus didn't say, therefore go and help people attend church. He didn't say, therefore go and just gather together on a Sunday and that's the sum purpose of what I want you to do. Now you see, coming together as other, like we are this morning, that is so important because we come together and we're fed and we're built up. But then our purpose is to then go and make more disciples. So if you are questioning, am I following God's plan for my life? Well, if you are being a disciple, chances are you are, because you are committed to following after him. So that is our purpose, our call, to be a disciple and to make disciples. But if discipleship is more than just coming together on a Sunday, what does true discipleship actually look like? What does it mean? Because I'm sure if I said to you this morning, hands up if you want to follow Jesus, predominantly most hands in this room would go up. Hands up if you want to know you're living the best life Jesus came to bring. Most hands are going to go up this morning and say, yes, sign me up for that. But what does that look like? What does it look like, true discipleship, to be that lifelong committed follower of Jesus? Well, I read an incredible quote this week that I think sums it up really well. It says this, discipleship is a journey of intentional decisions leading to maturity in your relationship with Jesus so that you become more like him in your attitudes, your focus, and ultimately behavior. It requires commitment from the potential disciple and the disciple makers. It isn't something that happens by accident or overnight, and it can't be completed in a six-week course. This is a lifelong commitment to follow God with your whole self and to both learn from and eventually teach others about how to follow him. I'm going to read that because it's quite a long. I'm going to read it one more time. Discipleship is a journey of intentional decisions leading to maturity in your relationship with Jesus, so that you become more like him in your attitudes, your focus, and ultimately your behavior. It requires commitment from the potential disciple and the disciple makers. It isn't something that happens by accident. It isn't something that happens overnight, and nor can it be completed and ticked off in a six-week course. There's nothing wrong with six-week courses, but that doesn't make you a disciple. This is a lifelong commitment to follow God with your whole self, and to learn from and eventually teach others about how to follow him. Being a disciple means being intentional in our decisions. If you've been a part of our small groups, we looked at that this week about intentionally setting time aside to pray, intentionally choosing, I'm going to read some scripture every day. It means being intentional with where we place ourselves. Are we intentional about coming to church? Because growth as a follower of Jesus doesn't just happen overnight, and it doesn't just happen by accident. We have to commit ourselves to it. It means maturity in our relationship with Jesus. I want to read you a few words that the Apostle Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians. So Paul is talking about the gifts that are given to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. He says this, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We won't be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Paul is saying that, the role of us being taught and being fed is that we will grow in maturity, so that we won't just be tossed about by, oh, a new craze has come in church, let's follow that, or I'm not sure God loves me anymore, so I'm just going to give up, and now I'm having a bad day, and where is Jesus? But actually, we are growing in our maturity, in our faith, that, okay, I'm having a bad day, but God was with me on my last bad day, therefore I trust he's going to be with me on this. I'm walking through a storm, and it's difficult, and I'm confused, but I still hold, because God walked with me through the last storm. That's maturity. That's growing. We wouldn't expect our children to stay the maturity of a kind of a 2 or 3 year old when they're still 18. Sometimes you might question, but we wouldn't expect that. We expect them to grow and to make decisions that are age appropriate. And it's the same in our faith. If we are still, Paul in another passage talks about, he said, I'm trying to give you solid food, but I have to just keep giving you milk. Part of being a disciple is, Jesus, I am committed to my own growth. I am committed to feeding myself. I'm committed to growing, because this really matters. We're not called just to make a one-off decision to follow Jesus and then stop at that. We're called to make lots more decisions, to keep on following, to keep on choosing. When it's hard, I'm still going to pray. When it's hard, I'm still going to give. When I'm happy and life is good, I'm still going to pray, and I'm still going to choose to give. One of the things I love about New Life is we talk about a compass, not a clock. This is not about, well, how quickly can you get to where God wants you to be? How quickly can you grow? No, no, no. If you're heading in the right direction, this is not a time constraint on this. Because we have to remember, the Bible says that God lives in us. If we're followers of Jesus, then by the Holy Spirit, he lives in us. And it's the Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us and reminds us of the truth that we know. And so, this is not a race to get somewhere. This is a journey, and we keep on heading in the right direction. To be a disciple means to become more like Jesus. Now, nobody in this room is perfect, and sometimes I know I've fallen into the trap of looking at when people are on the stage, maybe preaching, or the leaders, and thinking, they must do it so much better than me. They must get this stuff right. Listen, we don't get it right all the time. We're all on a journey. But our prayer should be, Jesus, help me to live as you lived. Help me to love as you loved. Help me to become more like you, Jesus. Less of me, more of you. And discipleship is a lifelong commitment. It's not just, well, I'll sign up on Sundays and then kind of see where the week takes me, and then, oh, I'll go back again the next Sunday and get my spiritual top up, and then the week goes by and I never really give my faith or Jesus another thought. No, discipleship, genuine discipleship, is this matters every minute of every day. It matters what I do spending my time. It matters how I speak to people. It matters how I spend my money. It matters what relationships I have. It matters what I watch, what I listen to, what I allow to come into me, because I am all in for Jesus. And that, if we want to be disciples, that's what it's about. Now, are we all there yet? No, but are we all on a journey getting there? Yes. This is not about being a Russ follower or a Dina follower or a Dan and Elena follower. This is about being a Jesus follower, because everything we do should enable us to point people to him, but also for us to become more like him. And this is countercultural. In our world, it's very selfish and individualistic, but we are coming in and we're saying, hey, I'm not living for myself. I'm living for someone greater than me. I'm not living just in my own bubble, but I'm choosing to be in community with people. It goes against a lot of what our world says, but let me tell you, our world doesn't need more of the same. It needs people who live radically different lives, who allow the peace of God to flow from them, to allow the joy of Jesus to flow from them. Our world doesn't need you to fit in. Our world needs you to stand out. We are set apart, consecrated people, children of the light. That is who we are, and that is the call that's on our lives, to be disciples. True discipleship is committing ourselves to intentionally following Jesus every day, no matter the cost, on our good days and on our worst days. But here's another question. If our purpose is to be a disciple and to make disciples, And if we know now what true discipleship is, who benefits from us being disciples? Now, that might seem like a very obvious question, but go with me. Who benefits from us being disciples? First of all, we do. We talked last week about the fact that Jesus came to give life and life to the full, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that following him is the only way to true life. It's the only way to true fulfillment. And so if Jesus is the only way to find freedom and forgiveness and joy and contentment, then it stands to reason that if we are following him, we should be feeling fulfilled and full of joy. And so if we're not experiencing the fruit that comes from following Jesus, maybe we need to self-reflect. Am I actually following him? Am I actually each day choosing to follow him? Because if we follow him, we should get the fruit of that life. Following Jesus allows us to grow in our faith. It allows us to grow in our character. It allows us to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. And how much of those things, how much will that benefit us if we are growing and becoming more like him? So we benefit. We get to glorify God with our lives when we're disciples. But also, other people benefit when you and I are walking and following Jesus. Because our goal is not just, this is for me, and I'm in my own little spiritual bubble, and it's all lovely, me and Jesus. But actually, we're called, okay, what I've got, I need to live it out to other people. And our spiritual growth is not only for our benefit, but to benefit others. And how can we tell people about Jesus if we don't truly know him ourselves? How can we invite other people to a life of faith if we're not really living a life of faith? We need to grow in order to go. Get that put on a t-shirt. Though actually that's very cheesy, but it's true. We need to grow in order to go. We need to grow in our faith in order to go and make other disciples. And here's the thing, I think we're only truly, truly able to selflessly love our world when we truly know and love Jesus. Because true witness is born out of true worship. True, genuine living out our faith comes from a place of knowing Jesus. Ronald Rollheiser, I think that's how you say his name, says this: the ideal disciple is the one who is attuned to Christ's heartbeat and sees the world with that sound in his or her ear. The ideal disciple is the one who is attuned to Christ's heartbeat and sees the world with that sound in his or her ear. What a beautiful picture that we're so close to Jesus. You know, if ever you've rested your head on somebody, my husband Mark is a lot taller than me, so if I hug him, my head kind of goes on his chest and I can hear his heart beating. What a beautiful picture that we're so close to Jesus that we hear his heartbeat and that's how we approach our world. Because let me tell you, if you're hearing the heartbeat of Christ, if you're knowing what he thinks of people, you'll look at people differently. If you're hearing the heartbeat of Christ for his world, you'll treat people differently. Because how can you not when that's the resounding sound in your ear? And that's why our discipleship journey is not just about us, it's for the benefit of people around us too. You know, one of our heart statements here at New Life is to help people find and follow Jesus. That's our mission. That's at the very core of who we are. We want to help people find and follow Jesus, and that will never change. How we outwork that, which is our vision, that might change. What worked, say, 20 years ago in New Life may not be what works in the future. The way we've reached a particular group of people in the past may not be as we move into a new season as church. As Russ and Pastor Russ and Sarah move on, and I take over leading the team that lead the church, how we do things might look differently, but our mission, our heart to help people find and follow Jesus, that doesn't change, because that is about discipleship making. Vision is changeable and season dependent, but our heart to help people find and follow Jesus, that doesn't ever change. I began by reflecting on how January is a month of newness and the opportunity to self-reflect and self-evaluate and look. What is it? Where am I at? And we often talk about God doing a new thing, that God is a God of new things. And Isaiah says that. When God is speaking to Isaiah, he says, forget all of that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do, for I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? Because he just listed all that had gone on for the people of Israel. And Isaiah was telling the people, listen to what all that God has done. But guess what? It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. But here's a profound thought. The new things that God has for you and I do believe he has new things for us, it's not new to him. Because he's been working on it a very long time. It's just new to us. What a profound thought. That the one who spoke the world into being has been thinking and dreaming and planning something new for the people of New Life for 2024, which for us is like, wow, God, you've got new things for me. But for him, he's just been working on it a long time. What a beautiful thing to be able to know that we are people who can experience that new thing. So our purpose is to be a disciple and to make other disciples. So with that in mind, I just want to leave you with two challenges, really practical challenges. What is one thing you can do or change or tweak or begin to help you in your journey as a disciple? What is one thing, maybe something you're already doing that you can just tweak and do it a little bit more, or something you need to begin or something you need to stop? Maybe for you it's joining a small group. Maybe it's deciding I'm going to pray every day, I'm going to read a portion of scripture every day. Maybe it's reading a great book on spiritual health or prioritizing Sundays. What is one thing you can do to help you in your journey as a disciple? And my second challenge is, what is one thing you can do or change or tweak in order to help you make more disciples? Maybe it's to tell somebody at work that you're a Christian. Maybe it's to share your Jesus story of how you came to faith. Maybe it's to offer to pray with somebody. Maybe it's to get alongside a newer Christian and walk with them and help disciple them. There are so many ways that we can help ourselves to grow and go and reach other people. So two challenges. What is one thing you can do to help you grow as a disciple? And what is one thing you can do to help you make other disciples? I'm just going to have just a little bit of music and just maybe close your eyes and just for 1 or 2 minutes, just reflect on those things. Because the easiest thing would be to be like, oh, that was lovely preach, thanks, Dina. But actually, let's make this practical. Let's have something that we can take from it. What is something that you can do to help you grow in your discipleship journey? And what is something you can do to help other people become disciples?
Thanks for listening to this message from New Life in North Lincolnshire. To find out more, do visit us online at newlifechurch.uk, or why not pay us a visit? We'd love to see you.